Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Sync Exchange podcast. I'm really delighted for our guest today, Gary Calamar, who is a KCRW DJ and a music supervisor.
Hi, Mark. Hi, everybody. I have several jobs here coming out of my office, and they're all pretty important. KCRW is definitely very important to me in that, you know, I get to do my own thing, produce my own show, and have a good time with it. I don't necessarily have a bunch of producers and people like that kind of second guessing all my brilliant ideas, but my day job, my quote unquote day job, is a music supervisor, and I've been doing that for a while now, and that's what kind of pays the bills over here.
Being a DJ at somewhere like KCRW, I would think that other than, you know, just on its most basic level, being a fun job that gives you freedom to show people the music that you really love, it allows you to really find interesting new music that maybe at some time you can apply to the other job.
Absolutely, yeah. All the jobs definitely overlap each other. And, you know, things that I play, I mean, I'll just mention one thing, you know, it's kind of that I'm pretty well known for is the use of the Sia song, Breathe Me, in 6 Feet Under in the finale.
Right.
And that was the song that I found, in my KCRW pile, a song that I had been playing, you know, for several months prior to using it on 6 Feet Under. And when the time came for that scene, I definitely went, in my head to some of the things I had played on KCRW, and that one jumped out as something that would really work. And it did. So, yeah, you know, all the jobs definitely feed upon each other.
All of this really comes down to, I think, where I'd like to try to start with you is being a music lover, somebody who listens to and loves music and wants to find ways to get, you know, wants to find ways to bring it to other people, right?
Yeah, well, definitely that's where it all starts as a music lover. I grew up in the 60s and, you know, was introduced to all the great music from the British Invasion and all the great music that came out in the 60s. I had an older brother, Ronnie Calamar, that was also a huge music fan, and he pretty much teed up my whole career, really, because he kind of, you know, turned me on to all this great music. And yeah, you know, I used to listen to the radio back in New York, WABC and WMCA and later WNEW-FM. And, you know, that was my dream, was to somehow get into the music business and, you know, do what I love to do. You know, I didn't want to have to work a day job and then, you know, do my music hobby at night. I was happy to be able to, integrate that into my whole life. But yeah, it all started as just being a huge music fan, going to shows and going to record stores. And I mean, that would be an everyday thing for me. I would just go to a record store and comb through the bins and look at all the artwork. And, you know, fortunately, I was able to make a living at it.
Quite a few people who are listening probably have sort of a similar sort of a moment that popped into their head at a young age where they said, you know, I really want to do something in this industry, something where I can apply my love of music to try to make a living at it. You're also an artist too, right? Tell us a little bit about that before we get into the meat of music supervision.
Yeah, you know, I'd always banged out a few chords on a guitar. I'm not a virtuoso by any means, but I know all the basic chords. And I always would, make up songs as I was growing up as a teenager. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily finish the songs, but I would try and see what came out, and just had a great time doing that. And more recently, in the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, I was kind of finishing some songs and trying to take this songwriting a little bit more seriously. And at one point I played some of my little, you know, home recordings for Kevin Weaver at Atlantic Records.
Right.
He said, we should put this out. And I said, that's exactly what I would love for you to do, is let's put this out. And he put out, you know, Atlantic put out the first EP that I put out
right,
a couple years ago, You Are What You Listen To. And I just kind of ran from there. You know, it's, you know, a great little outlet. I love to do it. And, you know, I'm not super prolific. I'm good for a couple of songs a year. I'm actually just putting the finishing touches on a couple of new songs, which will be out later this month, that I'm very excited about, that I will share with everybody. Actually, I just sent out an invitation to the Mimosa Music Series, which I put together. And
right,
the next Mimosa Music Series is January 22nd. And it will also be the world premiere of my two new songs. Getting into some more serious songwriting is on True Blood. I had an opportunity to write a song for Iggy Pop. I co-wrote a song that Iggy Pop recorded for True Blood. And that turned out very nicely and certainly certainly a thrill, one of the big thrills of my life, to have Iggy Pop record one of my songs.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and Iggy actually said, you know, you should keep on doing this. You know, we spoke, and he liked the song, and I said, oh, you know, if Iggy's encouraging me, how could I say no?
Yeah, that's a pretty good endorsement.
And maybe I'll get lucky one day, and one of my songs will be in a big Apple commercial or something like that.
Gary's looking for a sync to some of his original music, but you know, the people that are doing syncs probably already know that. All right, mm-hmm. So moving on from that, tell us, how does one get into the business of music supervision? I mean, this is a question I ask everybody, and everybody has a different answer, so now I'm asking for your answer.
It is tough to get into it. What I tell people is that it'll be good to find a mentor, someone who's been doing it for a while and trying to intern with a, you know, experienced music supervisor. I was very lucky and I hooked up with a guy, G. Mark Roswell,
right,
who I met at KCRW. He had come down to see one of the live performances and we talked and we hit it off. And he has a long history of doing some great work. He did The Commitments and Wild at Heart and, you know, many, many other, movies. And he kind of, you know, we decided to team up. I had an opportunity to work on this movie Slums of Beverly Hills,
right.
Although I didn't really have any experience at the time. So I brought in Mark and they, you know, we teamed up on that. And he basically showed me the ropes. He introduced me to many of the players who I still talk to today at the record labels and publishers. And he, like I said, he kind of knew the business inside and out. And he was very generous in sharing that information with me. We went on to do Varsity Blues after that together.
Right.
And again, he was very generous in, you know, giving me the co-supervision credit when he didn't really have to do that. So he was something I'll always be indebted to him for. And then we kind of, you know, I went out on my own and actually hooked up with another great music supervisor, Thomas Golovich, and we did Succeed Under together for five glorious seasons. And, you know, now we're just kind of, things just kind of fell into place and, you know, just trying to hustle for work all the time. But that's what I would suggest, is to try and, you know, intern or find a mentor that can, you know, kind of walk you through the early stages of it.
Really, it's hard work. And also, I think a little bit of research of who's out there.
Work. And it's also extremely competitive. You know, there are quite a few music supervisors out there. And although the work, you know, can be challenging and is challenging, you know, I think the hardest part is getting the gig in the first place, because there's so many supervisors out there, a lot of talented people. But yeah, you know, if you can get in, you know, like I say, I've done, you know, a fair amount of work over the years, but I'm still hustling every day for more work. It's not like, you know, it's an easy road to go down.
There's a lot of competition.
Yeah, there's a lot of competition. And one thing is to always try and do an amazingly great job so they'll hire you back. You know, there's a lot of moving parts to music supervision. There's a lot of politics, not to mention, you know, being very knowledgeable about music and how to negotiate deals. But that's the way to keep on working, is just to do an excellent job and be invited back for the future project.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's really what people have to look at. When people look at the job of a music supervisor, they look at it as somebody who put music into a film or a TV show or a game, and it's really cool and it's a lot of fun and they're listening to music all day. Obviously a pretty awesome job. And while all of that, I think, is true, there's this whole other side of things that you need to know how to do, that combine being able to understand collaboration with people, being able to understand the, you know, what works from an objective point of view for a particular project. And of course, there's the whole idea of logistics, intellectual property, the horse trading.
You said it better than I did.
Take us through your typical process.
Yeah, well, when you start a project, it's always really challenging the first season of a new TV show, because everybody's trying to feel their way through and still trying to find, you know, the overall tone of the project. So it's definitely very challenging on the first season. I'm working on a new show right now called Mr. Mercedes, based on a Stephen King book. And, you know, we're just trying to make it work, you know, both creatively and financially, working within the budget. And, you know, it's challenging. But there is, you know, the basic steps are, you know, you have a conversation with the showrunner, trying to get a feel for what the showrunner is trying to do and, you know, his or her sensibility, both musically and dramatically. And then the basic process is, yeah, you read the script. You know, you make notes during the script. So sometimes there'll be music that or songs that are written into the script that, you know, may or may not make the final cut, but the writer has, you know, penciled in a few songs that they think will eventually work. And then, you know, we look at a rough cut. They shoot the scene, they shoot the episode. We look at a rough cut and, you know, we sit down with myself and the composer of the show who's doing the score. Usually the writer and the producers are all in this room having a spotting session. And we just kind of go through the show scene by scene about what, you know, do we want a song here? Do we want a score here? If we do want a song, you know, what kind of vibe do we want the song to be? We don't want to, you know, tip off anything that's going to happen later in the show, perhaps. And, you know, just kind of talk about all the different aspects of the show and the music that is needed. And then I go back to my office, my studio, and go through a bunch of things, putting, you know, music up against picture, and come back with, you know, maybe 3 to 5 choices to play for the showrunner to see what they think. And hopefully they'll say, well, Gary, you've done it again. This is brilliant. How do you do it? That's not always the case, but that's the ideal situation. And then I go about trying to clear the song by reaching out to the record label and the publisher and sometimes the artists themselves and negotiating a deal and trying to make all the pieces fit into the puzzle, you know, budget-wise. And hopefully by the time we mix the show, everything is good to go.
In this whole process, there's a lot of points in it that are really exciting and creative, but at the same time, there's a lot of points that are really, really involved. I think that in order to make it all work, you have to be able to work with people in a collaborative way. And that doesn't just mean working with the showrunner in a collaborative way and, you know, coming up with things creatively, but also being able to work with the people who are the music owners, the rights holders, whether it's a label, a publisher, a manager, or an artist, whoever it is, in order to get the job done.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we have an amazing community, the film and TV music community is a really great group of people, you know, the people who work at record labels and publishers and licensing companies, and they're always a huge help to me. I mean, I come up with, you know, a lot of ideas on my own, but sometimes I'm stuck or sometimes I need things at a certain budget, and, you know, I reach out to the community, and they're always very helpful. They obviously want to get their music licensed for the show, but they are also very creative people that come up with some great ideas that, you know, always make me look better than I might have looked otherwise.
And I think that's a really important point that you bring up. I think that that is one of the most important keys for success for people that want to work with you or any other music supervisor is to be able to say to themselves, okay, I have a creative solution. I have some music that I can send to Gary for this particular show that could work. And at the same time, if they don't, they need to tell you that right up front.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a waste of time for people to send me music that is not necessarily what I'm looking for. But I mean, I understand where they're coming from. I mean, everybody's got a job to do and everybody's trying to get their music out there. But yeah, just to go back, it's just, you know, amazing what the community out there can do. And there's, even if they're not music supervisors per se, you know, they're very creative and smart people. So, you know, it's great to be part of this community.
Tell us a little bit about some of the projects that you've worked on and what your current projects are.
Okay. Well, some of the highlights that I've worked on, for me creatively were, you know, a couple of shows for Alan Ball, the aforementioned 6 Feet Under and True Blood. True Blood especially, I mean, they were both great shows, but True Blood, you know, we used a ton of music, you know, from the show takes place in Louisiana, and we had a sort of a starting point for the sound of the show.
Right.
But I also had an opportunity to do some new recordings with, you know, people like Eric Burden and Iggy Pop and you know, The Heavy and Lucinda Williams and Elvis Costello. So I was able to kind of, you know, work up some new tracks with some of these great people. So that was extremely rewarding and exciting for me. These days, I'm working on a couple of Amazon shows, The Man in the High Castle, which is very, for the people that don't know the show, it's an alternate reality show that, you know, has the premise that the United States lost World War II to Germany and Japan, and they are running the country. Hitler is still alive, and it takes place in 1962, and, you know, we use a lot of music that would exist in this world, and when I say that, you know, every song choice is scrutinized very heavily, like, would this exist in this world would the Nazis allow this song to you know, be a public song.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a great learning experience for me. We also, you know, used a good amount of songs from Japan, from the period, from the 50s, which has been great. I was able to make some nice contacts with some Japanese record labels, partially thanks to you, Mark, for some of the Japanese labels and publishers. So, yeah, so that is currently in season two and is doing very well. We just got renewed for season three. So that is a very exciting show. Ridley Scott is the producer. It looks amazing. And fortunately, even though it's very dark, it's been doing very well for Amazon.
Yep.
Another show, which apparently was not doing that well for Amazon, although it's a great show, called Good Girls Revolt, which took place
right.
in, as 1969 turned into 1970. And that was kind of a sweet spot for me as a music supervisor, because I know the music from that period really well, having grown up in that period. And the show was doing very well, but apparently it didn't fit into Amazon's future. So they're currently shopping that around to other networks. But that is a show that I'm very proud of, and hopefully will find a new home.
Right.
And then I'm just starting a brand new show for the AT&T Audience Network, which I don't think is too well known yet, but I have a feeling they're going to make their move in 2017. But it's a very cool new show called Mr. Mercedes, and it's from a Stephen King book, and it's a detective story. And
Interesting.
Yeah, David E. Kelly is the producer, so he's coming back to do some great stuff, and as well as Jack Bender is one of the writers and producer and directors, and he worked on Lost and a bunch of other great shows. So, this is about a cop who has retired, and then this cold case comes back to haunt him and pulls him back in, and it's really cool.
And it's interesting, you know, when you go over all of the projects that you've worked on, you know, they all call for very different kinds of music, and I think that that's one of the things that I always like to say to people, you have to really research what a music supervisor is working on at any one time, because if you look at something like Men in the High Cast, you may not either be an aficionado or necessarily like or dislike the music that you need to use for that particular show. You have to, with every show that you're working on, find the right tool for the job, right? So it has to be music that fits the narrative.
Yeah, well, you know, I worked on Dexter a few years back, and you know, that's the place in Miami, and we used quite a bit of Cuban music for the show. You know, I didn't know very much about Cuban music prior to working on the show. So that was a great, you know, it's fun to explore these new types of music or these different types of music and you know, get to be an expert at it. And as you said, yeah, each show calls for different things. And a lot of people might think, well, you know, I'll get to put in my favorite songs. And, you know, it just doesn't really work that way. You just have to serve the production and serve the creative aspect of the showrunner and make the show as best as it could be.
You really have to make sure that, you know, you're looking at it from the perspective of providing the music supervisor when you're submitting something with the right tools for the job. And, you know, a lot of people that you do business with on a day-to-day basis already know this, so I'm not saying anything new to them. But there's a lot of people out there who say to themselves, I'd really like to get something into one of Gary's projects, so they just send you something that they have and hope that it sticks to the wall. And that's not really the best way to move forward, because it's not helpful to you as a guy who has a lot to do and has hundreds of emails that you have to go through a day. They're not helping you to do your job any better, and they're not helping themselves. So the best way that they can do something is to really take a look at what you're doing and to say, all right, you know what? I actually do know a lot about German music from the 40s. Let me see if I can bring something to him. Or, you know, the Mr. Mercedes thing, I'm not sure what the brief is for that, but once it comes out, people can know generally the kind of music that you're using for that. So I think that one of the things that I like to try to say to people in these conversations is that if you want to work with a music supervisor's project, you've got to go on to places like IMDb, you've got to do your research, and you should, you know, go and take a look at the show if you have time, and actually get an idea of what it is you're working on, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know that's very difficult, because, you know, sometimes by the time it gets up on IMDb, or, you know, by the time somebody hears about the show, it could be all wrapped already, and people are, you know, want to pitch songs for the show that's, you know, already wrapped.
Right.
So I feel for all the musicians and all the licensors and all the people pitching music. It's very challenging, and, you know, I try and accommodate them. you know, when I can. A lot of people are reaching out to me all day long, and I try and get back to everybody and let them know what I'm working on. But, you know, we're a small operation here, and we just try and get the work done by the end of the day. So, but yeah, definitely doing your research and doing your homework is you know, vital.
Just to wrap things up, if people want to connect to you, to your project, or if they want to learn more about what you're doing, what's the best way for them to do so?
That is a good question. You know, people can keep in touch, you know, via IMDb and see what I'm working on. You know, I hesitate to give out my email address just to do their homework, watch the trades, and, you know, maybe, you know, get involved with the Guild of Music Supervisors, who can maybe give you some information about who's working on what.
Yep.
But, yeah, you know, like I say, just to watch the trades and try and keep on top of it the best you can. I know a lot of licensing companies, you know, there's a lot of individual musicians who are pitching their music. And I always recommend that they try and get involved with a, you know, established licensing company, because they know all the music supervisors, they know all the different projects that are going on. And, you know, it's much easier for me to deal with a licensing company who handles, you know, a lot of music rather than, you know, rather than dealing with, you know, 20 different individual musicians who are pitching their music.
That's a really good point. One that we didn't touch on that much in our conversation, because we're making it more about you, but I think it's really important for people to realize that they're really well served connecting with a sync rep or a sync agency that can help them to bring their music to a music supervisors and the advertising community in a more efficient way. Because, you know, like you said, these are people that you know, that you trust, that are working in the field, that really understand your business and what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know, if you want to, if you have any questions, you can always ask me directly, mark@syncsummit.com, and I'll try to help you follow up as best I can.
And the Sync Summit conferences that I've been to have always been, you know, great opportunities to meet people and for people to learn about what, you know, what the music supervisor's job is, and also just to kind of have a little face-to-face time with music supervisors. So I've always had a great time at the Sync Summit conference.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate you saying that, Gary, and I really do appreciate live events, you know, so the potential for bringing people together. I don't think there's anything quite like that, being able to come to an event and actually hear from people firsthand while they're there, and connecting to them is a bonus. You can never guarantee that there's going to be business after that, but there's, I'll put it this way, there's probably a lot better of a chance than there was not attending.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah. Gary, I'd like to thank you for taking your time out of what I know is a really busy day to be with us on the Sync Exchange podcast. I'll be sure to put up your music, links to everything else, and as soon as you have your new songs come out, we'll do our best to get them out to the rest of the community.
Excellent. I'd appreciate that.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate it.